Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Brett Hundley was a star quarterback at Chandler High School, then went on to UCLA, and now he is the backup to Aaron Rodgers at Green Bay, and he's back in the Valley. I was texting with him last night. I said, why don't you just jump on? Let's get caught up with Brett Hundley, and we'll talk some NFL football with him and what it's like being with the Packers and his progression through the NFL. He's here in the Valley today. He's actually being honored Saturday night in Chandler at an event. So we'll catch up with Brett Hundley. He's on the golf course today. I cannot say where, but it's a nice track. And I don't know if he's any good or not. I remember there was a day where I told him, take up golf, and he kind of looked at me cross-eyed. So I'm very pleased that he's doing that. Goody at the movies today. So as we get into the weekend, what movies from Bill's end do we want to see? There's been some news today in the broadcasting world that Bill and I are going to talk about. Bob Costas handed off the torch this morning to no longer be the primetime host of the Olympic Games, at least the Winter Olympic Games. So Mike Tirico is going to do that. This comes as no surprise, but I'll get Bill's view on this. You always have to have the succession. Eventually, Mike Tirico will be the replacement to Al Michaels on Sunday Night Football. Costas is also giving up Sunday night hosting duties on site. I don't know if that means Tirico is going to take those or if Dan Patrick will take those. I don't know. But so there's some media stuff to get to, and we'll do that with Goody in the movies as well. Last night, the story last night was not the Suns being awful or Devin Booker's little dust up with Troy Daniels after the game. It was not U of A not looking good again, although I'll get into that. And there's more to get into with the Suns. It was not ASU and their curtain of distraction guest and them getting blown out on a game at Eric, did you watch that to the end? Did you get into any of
I
ASU?
Did. It's pretty incredible when you tell yourself, you know what, I'm gonna catch a little bit of this game and I just couldn't, it was so bad I just couldn't turn it off. They had 17 points at halftime. And they were 2 of 14 on threes at one point. And they were missing layups, and Cal was hitting everything, and it was just Cody Justice said it was embarrassing, and I tend to agree.
Well, I think they hit a wall.
Probably. They played so well last week up in both the Oregon schools. They've been really up and down.
And Cal's good.
They played Creighton really close, and then they get blown out at home by Washington State. You just don't. It's tough.
Yeah, and I picked the Washington State game to go to, which was just abysmal.
That was a bad one, too.
The Carmelo stuff. So that's the story. I mean, the Charles Oakley stuff with Carmelo, with the Knicks, with Jeff Hornacek. That's the story of the day. The story of the day, without question, is what happened in New York City last night. I know it doesn't impact what goes on here with the Suns, but you know, if you didn't see what happened last night, here's Charles Oakley, former great New York Knick. He was yelling at the owner, James Dolan. He bought his own ticket. He was in the second row. And Charles, at least he didn't grab security by the nipple like he did Charles Barkley back in the day.
Yeah, there's four assaults right there. I've got five assault charges.
Yeah.
And it's only going to get worse here.
Yeah, and so this is actually on ESPN last night because they're showing this game. And Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, is at the game. Mike Breen, who is the mouthpiece of the NBA, is at the game, doing the game, and he's trying to downplay it. But you can't downplay this. You know, Charles Oakley loses it. And Phil Jackson walked through the tunnel to go to Charles Oakley. Spike Lee said, Phil's got to get out of here. There's Adam, who's at the game.
Woof. You have your two biggest markets, Los Angeles playing at New York. It's an ESPN game, as you mentioned. It's prime time.
There's nothing else on.
Yes, it's on a Wednesday night. But the people watch the Knicks and people watch the Clippers, and then you get something like that that happens not before the game, not after the game, but right in the middle of the game.
So he gets tossed. They arrest him. He gets out. So the headlines of the tabloids were very humorous today. And they had fun with it. Charles is charged.
It's just gold. However much those people make is not enough.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is on that. nicked off. That's just.
And the cat. I mean, the caption to go along with the photo. Whoever got that photo mid strangle.
Nick's great handcuffed at MSG.
I'd love to crawl inside Jeff Hornacek's brain just for 2 or 3 minutes. What's going on up there? Like, what are you thinking about?
So I heard a little audio with him overnight. I do sportscast for Skyview that airs on like 15 stations around the state. So I do that every day. And I was sifting through some audio of Jeff Hornacek. And this was before the Oakley stuff last night. And Hornacek was asked about the adventure of being the coach of the Knicks. And he said it was kind of like, and you have to know Jeff Hornacek. It's just kind of like, it's always something. Yes, there is always something here. And most of it isn't good. So I can tie Charles Oakley into the Suns. It's very easy to tie those two together. And I'll get into the game last night and Devin Booker in a minute. But so, and we're supposed to have Brett Hundley here in about 6 minutes. So when you see a team that's really bad, and Charles Oakley is seeing a lot of bad basketball, and the Knicks put out a release that said, we hope that he gets help at the end of the release last night, which I don't know if Charles Oakley has any problems away from it, but evidently today that has caused the more sad state of New York basketball to ramp up even further. Suggesting that he's got some problems. The Suns have been just as bad as the Knicks. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but May 29th, 2010, the last time the Suns had a playoff game, home or road, there's got to be some former Suns players. Well, I know there are because I've talked to some of them about just how bad this situation is here in Phoenix. And I don't know if any of them would want to stand up and yell at Robert Sarver, why have you driven this thing into the ground? And why is it we can't get it figured out? And how embarrassing to put this thing in the middle of the Sahara Desert. But there's got to be some players, former players, that feel the same way. The Suns lost again last night to Memphis, and it wasn't close. The Suns end up losing 110-91. They didn't shoot well. In fact, I was watching the game, and Memphis didn't even play Mike Conley much in the fourth quarter, and they pulled away from it. So because it's the Suns and nobody cares about what is happening of them trying to win or lose games, because, again, they're 16-37, this is what is making the rounds with the Suns today. The end of the game last night, Devin Booker out on the floor, Troy Daniels out on the floor for Memphis. There's a shot that's put up, and then things get just a little bit interesting. The game is already out of control. And you can see Tyler Ulis getting in the middle of it there, shortest one on the floor.
Love
saying,
it.
What is your deal?
I love it. The littlest guy out there. You're not going to bully me.
And that's my teammate. You're not going to bully him. And
that's Booker's boy, so that's not a big surprise.
When we had Booker on the pilot back in September, he brought Tyler Ulis down with him. And there's a couple things about what happened here last night. One is, the two teams play on February 28th again in just a few weeks here in Phoenix. That's going to be fun. Two, Devin Booker had one of the all-time great trash-talking lines after it was done. Devin Booker said, Troy Daniels, he's been on 5 teams in 3 years. Here it is of Devin Booker.
It's just basketball, man. I mean, talk trash sometimes. I don't know why he'd be talking to me. Been on 5 teams in 3 years. And he has the nerve to talk trash to me, but it is what it is. He's on a winning team, so you know, you have those muscles when you're on a winning team, really good team. So you know, it is what it is. We'll see you next.
That's pretty good. 5 teams, 3 years. He's on a winning team, meaning he's nothing. If he weren't on a winning team, he can stand his, flex his muscles. He wouldn't even be saying what he's saying. So I thought that was great. But there's not much to like about what's going on with the Suns, and it's the same thing with the Knicks. People should be outraged with what's going on instead of apathetic about what's going on. And we just find ways to, well, the Suns played and there was a fight and that's it. Never mind that they're embarrassing us again as a community that's on the floor. Are there some nice individual players? Yeah, there are. Devin Booker's a heck of a talent, but I feel bad for, it's like Espo. Espo's supposed to swing by here today by the studio. Espo has been writing this Suns blog, this solar panel on the website, and it's doing well. People are interested in it, and it's very upbeat and it's very positive. But me being me, I have to be the one that sits here and looks at it and says, this is great, but nobody's holding the owner accountable because they've all just kind of surrendered and said, well, nothing's going to change, so this is what we have to work with. That's not good. It's never good when these sports teams think they've got the community by the balls. It's not good. And that's what's going on here. We can put any sort of product out on the floor because we are pro sports. No, you can't. There should be no guarantee that fans will show up to watch your slop if you don't fix it. It's just a fact. And they should be taken to task more. I don't like just going off the little cheap video of here's a little skirmish and that's the Sun story. That takes me back to TV days. That's just distasteful. There's more to it than that. U of A was not good again last night. And for those of you that are the U of A apologists, if you're going to tell me that your team is hitting on all cylinders, no. But as I have said, they let Stanford hang around. Actually, Stanford was beating them. Markkanen wasn't good again last night. 2 of 9, hit a big three late. Trier had a nice game statistically, but is there too much Trier and not enough team? These are all very fair questions to ask. Stanford is a team that lost to Colorado and ASU, so they're not good. And they let ASU hang around, or U of A hang around, and U of A let them hang around last night. We're supposed to catch up with Brett Hundley next. We'll do that. Other things on my mind as we move through the morning. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmann. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Our television show, Brad Sussmann, Football AZ on Fox, 14 airings a week. We appreciate their partnership and with AZ Central as well. One of my favorite people is joining us right now that I've covered through the years, and that would be Brett Hundley. Brett Hundley is the former Chandler Wolf quarterback who's being honored this weekend. I'll get into that in a second. He's the Green Bay Packer quarterback. A quarterback, I shouldn't say the. Aaron Rodgers wouldn't like that, would he, Brett? And here's somebody that is on the golf course now, and I remember telling this young man, who is now a grizzled veteran of the NFL back in the day, learn golf, because it'll take you a long ways. I've seen where you've learned hunting, too, back in Green Bay. All that said, welcome. How are you?
Oh, man, I appreciate you for having me. It's an honor to be back on the show. But I'm doing great out here trying to shoot straight at the legacy and just enjoying my time here back in Arizona. How about yourself, man?
I'm good. Honored to be on this show. Are you serious? I mean, that's...
Oh, man, come on now. I remember being on the show when I was little. You know, you told me one day I'd be on the show when I'm in the NFL someday, and it came true. So this is an honor to be back on the show.
Are you still little? What are you now? You don't look little in pads.
No. Yeah, not from the last time I was on the show. A lot bigger.
Yeah. What do you weigh today?
Probably like 220, 225.
If it's regular season, what do you weigh?
220.
Really? You don't move that much?
No. In off season, you know, I eat a little bit more, so or eat a little bit differently, I guess I should say. So I'll probably get up to like 225, but 226. But I, you know, I'm happy. I'm happy that I don't really have to worry too much about my weight. I may drop, you know, during the season, depending on, you know, what time it is, so like 218s. But other than that, I mean, it's usually around the 220 range.
Talk with Brett Hundley. There's a lot that has happened in your world personally, right? Share with me some of what's gone on. And for people here in the Valley that may not be aware of what has gone on with you personally, and we'll get into football in a bit.
You know, I've just been blessed. You know, I've been married. I've been, you know, obviously got drafted. There's been a lot of blessings in my life, you know. I have a nephew now who's doing awesome. And, you know, obviously getting inducted into this Chandler Hall of Fame is another blessing. So I've had a lot of good stuff, and that, you know, just name a few, but that's just throw that stuff out there.
All right. So the marriage part, where'd you meet her? I don't know this stuff.
UCLA.
I have to get the dirt here. Okay. I mean, you don't return calls and texts like you used to when I congratulate you on marriage. So you're busy.
Yeah, I'm so sorry for that.
No. It's fine. It's fine. But so you met her at UCLA. What class was this in?
She was a track runner.
track runner. All right. Was it love at first sight?
Yeah, almost.
Really?
I mean, pretty much. You could say that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. What can she do on? What can she do in track that you can't do?
The 400 hurdles. I cannot do that.
Can you do the?
I can jog a 400. Actually, I can jog a 400. I don't know about even jogging a 400 hurdles. I'll probably trip over fourth.
Can you do 100 hurdles? Can you do one hurdle?
I can do 100.
Can you do?
Maybe. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you done hurdles with her?
No, never in my life would I even think about doing it.
Yeah, right.
Something like that. I'll stick to just, you know, if you give me 100, 200, 400 back in high school. But other than that, I'll stick to, actually, you know, I like the 50-yard dashes now. 50, 40, any 40, 50, 60 range, that's me.
Can she beat you in a 50-yard dash?
No. At least I like to think no.
You smoker. Oh, okay. We're throwing it out there. You don't know for sure. You like to think.
I mean, I'm like 98% sure.
Yeah. You have a defensive lineman that's running after you. Your 50's pretty good. She's got you running after her 50's pretty good.
Yeah. I guess it all depends on what's chasing us.
That's good. Talking with Brett Hundley. All right. So the Chandler Hall of Fame, Saturday night. And if I would have told you as a little kid doing the Pop Warner thing, when I first started hearing about you was around seventh grade, which is kind of creepy that a guy like me is hearing about a seventh grader, but there was no question you were going to be something. Would you have thought that going into the Chandler Hall of Fame would have been something possible for you?
Not at all. I mean, it's still to this day. I mean, I a lot of these accomplishments and stuff like that, they're still, you know, they don't, I feel like stuff like this doesn't hit you until you're done with football or until you get to, like, sort of just sit back and sort of see and look back on everything. But even, you know, I'm still sort of like, man, I'm really about to get inducted into the Chandler Hall of Fame, you know. That's something that I would have never even thought possible.
Well, it means you're old.
Back in seventh grade.
You're old.
I mean, yeah, seriously. I know. I'm getting up there now.
You got gray coming in yet? Any of that stuff?
No, thank God I do not have no gray coming in.
Follically challenged, so.
I try to stay relaxed. That's stress-free. I tend to think that keeps the grays away. So right now, I don't have any coming in soon, hopefully.
What is the coolest part about being a Green Bay Packer?
I think it's just, to be a part of that tradition, I think, is one of the greatest things that, you know, most people don't see. I mean, obviously the fans are unbelievable, but it's really the tradition, the team itself. I mean, this is – you can't get better as a team than Green Bay. And, I mean, obviously the Patriots are a good team. But just the camaraderie, the brotherhood, the organization from top down, the coaches – the respect that each, you know, everybody has for each other. And obviously, you know, like I said, the fans are unbelievable. Green Bay is an unbelievable town. You know, there's not much to do out there, to be blunt, but it's just a fun atmosphere. You know, it's good people, good times, and you enjoy being out there while you're out there.
We're talking with Brett Hundley going into the Chandler Hall of Fame, former Chandler High School star quarterback, UCLA star quarterback, now with the Green Bay Packers. You get asked this an awful lot, so I'm going to try to phrase it in a different way without being too obvious and too easy on you. And that is, how has it been to be a backup? What has been the biggest challenge for you being a backup to Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, you know, obviously it's an awesome opportunity, but it's also very humbling. You know, any true competitor wants to play. And I think that's probably the hardest thing for me is sitting and watching. You know, it's been 2 years now, and to sit back and just watch for 2 years when you're, you know, coming off of playing for 3 years at UCLA as a starter and, you know, having a good time and enjoying it. And then now to sit back and watch for 2 years as of now, you know, it's just, that's the hard part about it, but it's an awesome opportunity. You know, not many people can come into the NFL and learn. You know, most of the time you're sort of thrown into these positions. And for me, I'm in the position where I get to learn from one of the best to ever do it. And, you know, I couldn't ask for a better teacher than Aaron.
How has he improved you? How has he improved you, Brett?
You know, honestly, it's hard to even describe those because, you know, one thing physically is, you know, the footwork and everything like that. Green Bay does a great job of teaching their quarterbacks the correct way to do things and how your feet tie up to everything, the routes, the throws, everything, and your rhythm. But Aaron has, you know, taught me more than just physically. You know, it's all about mental as well. When you get to this level, a lot of the game is mental and how to study, how to prepare, how to, you know, go about handling certain situations. And, you know, a lot of it, honestly, is not from what he says or what he does. Well, actually, from not what he says personally to me or what he does, you know, how on the field and what he tells me. It's more about me just sitting back and watching him do what he does, and that goes a long way.
When you've got to go through a game week of preparation, on one hand, you know you're one heartbeat away. On the other hand, you know that you're going to be the backup to start the game. I'm curious. I'm sure now you're well adjusted to that. And as you said earlier, not starting games coming out of college after you played and did so well. How did you process that initially? And is it different now? Were the first few weeks like, wow, this is really different, this is really hard? Now it's second nature.
Yeah. The first few weeks, because, you know, in all honesty, it's so hard to, you know, you get warm up the same, you prepare the same, but then you have to realize, like, when you step out on the field, like, you're not going out there. And the first couple weeks, it sort of takes that to get that. But then it also takes an understanding of one play, honestly, like one play, and you could be in there. So you have to be ready at all times. And it's hard at first because, you know, you have to sort of gain, you know, or grasp yourself and your emotions and stuff because you're always on edge almost. And then after a while, you sort of start relaxing and knowing that, you know, if the play does happen, you know, you'll be in there, but you can't be on 10 the whole game, you know, because eventually you'll just sort of wear yourself out. But it sort of takes some adjusting to get used to.
You haven't done a Lambeau leap yet, have you?
No, I'm waiting to do it, though.
You got it? You got it down? You practice it, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. No, yeah, I practiced many times in my sleep. I've had a lot of dreams about it, and I'm sure when the opportunity arises, I'll be able to make the most of it.
All right, you're at the Legacy Golf Resort. You're working on your swing. I remember telling you one time at Chandler High School, after you lost to Hamilton again, that golf, you know, I'm never going to let you down on that, that golf was something that you should take up. And I don't know when you started taking it up. Are you any good at it?
I'm not terrible, but I'm not great.
Yeah?
You know, I just started getting into it last year. That was the first time I sort of picked up my clubs and started getting some practice. And that was just, you know, on my own out there swinging. And this year is the first time I'm actually going for lessons and starting to learn the ins and outs of the game and stuff like that. It's a fun game. You know, my cousin, Christian Campbell, is an amateur right now, going to be professional, and he's practicing up here every day. So, you know, I told him I'm going to jump in with you. And so, you know, I'll come up here in the mornings with him, watch him, and practice on my own and get some lessons, and then, you know, just go from there. So it's been a great opportunity again for me to know somebody who's doing this.
What's his potential, in your opinion?
Oh, yeah, it's going to be, you know, he's been practicing his butt off. He's finished second in a couple of his tournaments. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he's thinking about turning professional here shortly. But,
wow.
You know, it all depends.
Nice. So if I wanted to go out and play golf with you, you'd let me?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I'm not being a jock sniffer, you know. It's just I can look at you differently than others, I guess. You know, punky little kid.
I know. You know, you sort of known me since I was, young.
Young. All right. Well, I'll let you out of here, and I will take you up on golf. How long are you in town till?
I may be here for a month. You know, hey, whenever you're free, I'll be ready to play.
Whenever I'm free. All right. You can come host the show then,
whenever
and then I'll
ready.
Be free. You come host the show, I'll go play. That sounds like a fair trade to
all
me.
All right. That's a bet.
All right. See you soon. Stay well.
All right. Thank
Congratulations,
you so
by the way. Congratulations on the honor. So that's cool you're going in.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
See you. It's Brett Hundley with us. It's always good to catch up with Brett. You know, when Brett was at Chandler, so the background on that, if it sounds pretty loose between us, it is. So when he was at Chandler High, they had a game. I remember he was a sophomore. They had a game. I think it was Centennial. They won the game. I'm doing the high school show. And I love doing the high school show. The high school show is just as much fun as doing NFL or college or anything. And he came on the air, and he was so excited, but his interview was not very good. And I ended up running into him somewhere down the road and said, you know, if you ever want to talk about the media side of things, because I don't think there's enough athletes that understand the media side when they go into these universities. And most universities don't do training. And I didn't charge. I don't charge. But I just sat with him and said, here's the good cops. Here's the bad cops in L.A. You got to get rid of the ummas, you knows, and we would text each other on the numbers of ummas, you knows, and now you hear him on the air, and he's terrific. He's great. It's fun. It's fun. So it's the background that I really love doing this job. Sports. This is not a job, though. I love doing this. Sports360AZ.com. A job is in 10 minutes when I have Goody at the Movies on, because you never know what's going to come out of Bill's mouth. That's in about 10 minutes. We're going to circle back on some of the things that happened last night in the world of sports. Baseball's got this goofy rule they're kicking around. I want to run by you guys and much, much more. You can always reach us, Brad, at sports360az.com. We appreciate all of our partners. We just don't show up and do this without their support or your support. We appreciate you being involved with us. Thanks. We taped another edition of the Arizona Media Podcast this morning. Craig Fooey came in studio. Craig's the, of course, sports director over at ABC 15, longtime sportscaster. He had a heart attack 3 weeks ago. Actually, I had two of them 3 weeks ago. So I wanted to get caught up with Craig. He's also, there's another all sports radio station that's going to be launching in the Valley next Monday, 1580 AM. And they're going to be over on the FM as well. And Craig's going to have a show from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. He's going to talk about that in the Arizona Media Podcast. You can check that out. That content will be up on the site later this afternoon. So, yeah, this all-sports radio station, Mike Morocco has been a businessman, broadcaster in the Valley for a long time. He's putting this deal together, and he's going to take his show with Dan Minucci that's been over on 1060 a.m., and they're going to put it over on 1580 AM, and they're going to be the cornerstone, really, of this station. And they're going to bring Jim Rome back, and that's great, knowing Jim. Their morning show is going to be Kevin Ray and Mike Bauer, two veterans in the Valley. And the middle of the day, they've got a few things that they're going to play as well. So I think that it's great to have more radio stations that are out there. I talked to them briefly about what we do, and that's not what we do. So it's no swipe. It's great that there's more radio stations, just the digital side and TV and all that stuff. I'm very, very pleased with where we are. And our show is at 10 a.m. We're not going to move our show. And in this day and age of where media is instantaneous, you can't tape delay something and have it still be good. And it's just too risky. I don't think that's what our brand is ever about. And radio is not our first line of or even our second or third line of play. So it's great that they're going to be on board. So now for keeping score, Eric, for keeping score, you and I have been in the Valley a long time. We have 6:20 a.m. on the dial. We have 9:10 a.m. on the dial. We have 10:60 a.m. on the dial. We have 15:80 a.m. on the dial. We have these two translators that they're going to have for the 15:80 signal. And then we have 98.7. So 98.7 has all of the teams' games, and then they, when they have conflicts, will ship them out. So I'd imagine that on this broadcast end, some of these teams are going to kick the tires on some of these other stations. But you know, I don't see any movement around town. People have asked. I wrote about this about a month ago that there was another station coming along, and they're going to start next week. And good luck to them. I think that's good. It's always good for our industry to have outlets for people that can go do their craft and do it well on a daily basis. So there's not enough of that. From there, we have David Johnson. So this bit of video showed up yesterday afternoon. I don't know if you saw this or not. Those of you that need your David Johnson fix, I do think this is significant. Okay?
That's really hard to do. It's really hard to do that. It's hard to do that without water. And then you put water up to your almost your waist.
Yeah. We can do that. Like, if you and I went out there,
I could pull myself out of the pool, but not that way.
First of all, I don't think
the hot tub or whatever that thing is.
My first bit of, can you bring that back just for a second or just keep rolling it if you can? I don't think my swimsuit fits quite like his does. That's my first thought here on this. Secondly, yeah, if I tried to land on either one of my knees, they would bow out even more than they're bowing right now, needing both of them replaced. Thirdly, I don't have the balance. I'd fall backwards. So what do you think this is, about 3 feet? This is a box jump. It's got to be like 3-4 feet. I don't know.
Every team except the Cardinals are seeing this and saying, how did this guy fall all the way down in the draft? How did we miss on this kid from Northern Iowa?
But here's what we know about the draft.
He's not a kid. He's a grown man.
But here's what we know about the draft. The draft is fun to talk about. The draft drives the industry in the spring, unless you're a baseball fan or a basketball fan. And, you know, almost 100% of the time, these draft picks don't work out. There's very few that work out. And then there's the ones like David Johnson who come out of nowhere and they're great. Or do you remember when Andre Ellington was drafted and when he was here the first year, how great Andre Ellington was? Now Andre Ellington, is he even going to be here? Is he going to be here long term? Is his career coming to a close? Because at running back, that usually is the case with smaller players. You could take a guy, like, just take the Falcons, right? So the Falcons take Taylor Gabriel, the wide receiver, who Cleveland didn't think could play dead. But then again, they're Cleveland. So, and yet there he is killing it during the season because they don't have it figured out on a player personnel standpoint. Or they can't keep Alex Mack, who's a really good center. And so there's teams like Cleveland gave away the farm for Julio Jones. We're going to get all these draft picks from, we could have had Julio Jones, but no, we want all these picks. And they can't get any of these picks to save their lives. So the ineptness and the incompetence of a lot of these franchises when it comes to players and missing, and it's every team. I mean, look, we drafted Matt Leinart out here. That was, what happened with that? Matt's a nice guy and does a good job in college football, but he didn't have the ticker to play the game at the pro level. That was evident. There's misses here in Arizona just as easily as there's misses across the fruited plain of the NFL.
That's, you can go all the way back to Andre Wadsworth.
You can go all the way back to Tommy Knight.
Yep.
Little corner that liked to fish more than cover guys. I remember
Leland McElroy. There's just
Leland McElroy.
That was a whole different era.
It's a different ownership
then.
Michael wasn't around.
Yeah.
Michael wasn't around, and
every team misses.
Yeah.
But the good ones miss less than others.
Right. If you're the New York Jets, right? If you're the New York Jets, yep, you've already moved on from Christian Hackenberg and Bryce Petty. You've already moved on from them.
And you burned a first-round pick on Geno Smith.
I mean, you've already burned. Just think about that incompetence. And then you bring Todd there, and now they want to fire Todd because Todd's been there 2 years, and they haven't been able to figure it out. So you have these franchises that are supposed to be well-oiled. These are professional. This is professional. Well, no, it's not. It's just a bunch of fools that run around that have the keys to the store, and they've run the store into the ground. It's no different. The ineptness of the Cowboys for all those years, how do you take that brand and screw it up? And they did, right? For years and years, they screwed it up.
Yeah, speaking of the Jets, how excited am I to see Rex Ryan on the set, unfiltered, just doing his thing for a year next year before he gets recycled back into the coaching
world? No, I mean, that's...
You're not excited, but I am.
But I...
It's going to be... He's going to be someone that's going to say something. He's going to piss somebody off. I guarantee the first week he's going to say something.
But that will happen for a month. I mean, I'll take him on the show. It's fine. He'll say outrageous things.
Then the novelty will wear off.
We'll get clicks. I mean, so what? It was like when he's hired by Buffalo. I'd run into these Bills fans. Oh, we got Rex Ryan. Everything's great. Rex, he's sexy. Rex tells it like it is. He's working class like us. No, he can't coach. It's a clown show. That's what it was. I get tired of that. I don't know. I just want stability of teams. I don't need people that talk a good game. There's way too many people in sports teams, franchises, that talk a good game or say, yeah, well, look at our balance sheet. You're never going to make what we're making. You know, it's not. I don't judge my worth off that. I just don't. Goody at the Movies is next. I got really deep there. Sorry about that. Goody at the Movies is next. We'll talk with Bill. I'm not sorry about that. It's my show. I can do what I want. Sports360AZ.com. We partner, unless Eric doesn't like it, we partner with the Arizona Republic. I could do more Charles Oakley. I could do Charles Oakley for all day with as good as that story
is. Yeah, it was good.
It was good. Imagine if you're Jeff Hornacek today. What am I walking into at work? Does he drive in listening to a jazz station and cruises right in with his... No. Is Carmelo going to be traded today? What do you think about Oakley? Hey, Patrick Ewing's going to show up and he's going to go after James Dolan. No, no. We're going to go get this former player, that former player. Stay with us. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, it's time to look towards the weekend and the movies. This is a very interesting weekend from one end of the spectrum to the other with 50 Shades Darker and Lego Batman. So I'm going to get to all that with Bill Goodykunst, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central. But first and foremost, your reaction. Bob Costas hands the torch off to Mike Tirico. Costas no longer the primetime Olympic host or Sunday Night Football. Does this do anything for you?
Yeah, I mean, I like Costas. I like him better than Tirico. I think that Tirico, I never thought he was that good on Monday Night Football. I thought he took it too seriously. He was like, it was Monday Night Football when it wasn't really Monday Night Football anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, Tirico's okay. I like Costas, but I have to say that after so many years of doing it, there's a bit of a sameness to it. If they're going to do it differently, I would kind of like to have seen them do something really different. But I don't know who that would be. I mean, I'm available. If they need that.
Would it be male or female? Could you have an Olympic primetime host that is female? I think you could,
sure.
But
of course, why not?
Yeah, and I agree with you on that. But I think that would be very different and startling to some people, and let's just say middle America, that NBC is trying to appease.
Yeah, I mean, I could sort of see that. But really, I mean, it's interesting, like, what that role is. What is the role of that person?
Sure.
Of that host? And I think it's changed over the years. I think that we don't watch the Olympics the way that we used to. I mean, you don't necessarily – that's because we don't watch TV the same way we used to. You don't really settle in. And if there's a live event – yeah, maybe so. But if the thing's taking place in, you know, China or Japan or somewhere, you're not going to see it live. I mean, it kind of – you think back to when people first started using the internet, and the big scandalous story was people were reporting results on their website before it's been on primetime TV.
Spoiler alert.
And to my children, that is an out-and-out joke because it's like – I mean, why wouldn't they? You know, they could not fathom that. Yeah. And honestly, some of the younger people who work at my publication now would think it was equally as funny.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, well, it's news. Why wouldn't you report it? But that's how these things change. And I don't think that people are necessarily sitting down to watch it the way that they used to. I mean, you know, you can watch it anytime. And when you are making your own schedule and you are going to, you know, either DVR the Olympics, you're going to watch it online, you're probably not going to sit down and watch 15 minutes of either Bob Costas or Mike Tirico.
No, I agree with you on that. I think that role, to your point, has changed. And all you're really doing now is tossing from one feature to the next. You may have the big sit-down interview with Michael Phelps. What's he going to say? How does it feel to win another medal? Can you give it some perspective? I don't think that job's that difficult. I may sound too out of touch with it, but if I'm told I've got 3 minutes to ask Michael Phelps how does it feel to win the 28th medal, and I know that they're not going to want me to push him, and I've got to push as far as I can, that's pretty straightforward.
I would say we're in a world where the role of the media is being questioned not daily, not hourly, by the minute.
Yes,
and I think that I'm sure you've talked to a lot of them too, but I've talked to a lot of the sideline reporters for NFL games, for instance. And to talk to them is to listen to a constant litany of frustration because even though they don't work for the network, they know so much more than they can tell you.
Yep.
And particularly about injuries. And, they, you know, I've talked to some of them that say, you know, you see the guy carted off. It's like his leg's like all twisted up. And they tell you that, you know, he's questionable to return. And it's like the guy's leg is broken, and but I can't say it. And I think that probably happens a lot with the Olympics. It gets into that tricky thing of like you're paying, you know, you're in business with these guys and you're not in business a little bit. You're in business in the billions of dollars
all the way.
And I mean, that's when things can get tricky. But that said, I like Costas. I did not know that it included Sunday Night Football. I think I would miss him more there.
All right. I could talk to you about 50 Shades Darker, and so people need to know the backstory of this. I took my wife to see 50 Shades of Grey, and I sat next to Bill, and I think I put my hand on Bill's inner thigh a couple times just because the movie was going on. It was somewhat awkward. I'm going to skip over that because it just looks dreadful and just oh, God, why would he go see that? Unless
it's
I'm
horrible.
Wrong.
It's horrible.
Yeah. So let's get to Lego Batman. Let's get to the real story, and that is Lego Batman. Is this any
that
good?
That is awesome.
Is it?
Yes. I loved it. And I was worried because, I mean, I really liked the Lego movie. I don't know. Before the Lego movie came out, I and a lot of other people were kind of worried. It's like, you know, is this just going to be one big commercial for toys? And it wasn't that at all. It was actually a very good movie. And, of course, Batman had kind of a small role in it with the great Will Arnett from Arrested Development playing Batman. And he had that great song. He's like, "Darkness, orphan," you know. But then they said that we were going to make a movie about it. And I just said, well, can they extend that for a whole movie? And it turns out, oh, yes, they can. It's terrific. And it's one of those movies, though, that I think that adults – of a certain age will like it better than kids, because there are a lot of callbacks and a lot of homages to all the Batmans, going back to not just the TV show, but, like, you know, 75-year-old comic books and stuff, but a lot to the TV show with Adam West.
It's an hour and 46. Kind of Bill, it's an hour and 46 minutes. So they can carry this for an hour and 46. Really?
It should have been 3 hours long.
Really? Wow.
I would still be watching it. The reason is they did it. They took the approach that, like with the movie Airplane, where there's 10 jokes a minute, and you know, if 8 of them probably land, and some of them you can't hear because people are laughing, and some of them maybe aren't as funny, but it doesn't matter because you forget, you know, and you move on, and it's just bam, 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 and the stuff that they parody is just it's fantastic. And they really give a hard time to other DC movies like Suicide Squad and stuff like that. And they certainly get a lot of digs in against the Marvel people. And it's just I really recommend it.
Wow, is this your movie of the year, Bill?
No.
I was gonna say if Lego is your movie of the year, it's not been a good year. But it looks.
I'll tell you what, I would whatever my movie of the year is, I'm sure isn't out yet. But I'll guarantee you, I would watch this 10 times more. this is one where and plus there are so many jokes, you need to see it a couple times to get them all. But it's just really fun.
Okay, so to cut to the chase, I'll get over to John Wick, but one last question on this. So I'm taking my 12-year-old tomorrow night and his buddy to go do something. Now, I could go take him to Topgolf, or I could go take him to see this.
No, see this. Absolutely see this.
Okay. All right.
No question.
I got that. All right. John Wick, Chapter 2. John Wick, any good?
Yeah. It's pretty much the same as the first one, but I liked the first one. It's interesting. It could have been really good because, there's not a lot to give away in this movie. As I said, it's very similar to the first one. Keanu Reeves is the super assassin, and they say, if they refer to him, they say, is he the boogeyman? And he says, no. He's who you call when you want to kill the boogeyman. And he is pulled out of retirement yet again, and he kills everybody. I mean, that's sort of, you know, the story of it. Something happens at the very end that I won't give away that suggests something else that could happen. And there's going to be a third one, and I'm sure that's what is going to happen in the third one. But they could have just gone ahead and done it now, and, you know, and made a movie that wasn't so similar to the first one. But it's a lot of fun, and yes, it's super violent. But the violence is very choreographed, and it's almost like a kind of ballet almost. Except people are getting their necks broken and their heads shot off, and it's one of those movies too where, like, you know, it's one of those movies. And now this is a small thing, but it's always catches my attention. He'll shoot the guy, and the guy will fall down, presumably dead, right? You know. But just to make sure, he'll walk over and shoot him in the head, you know, just that, I guess you call that a kill shot, right?
Yeah.
But it is violent, but he's, if ever there was a role Keanu Reeves was born to play, and I talked to him, this was it, you know, the kind of quiet, I think in my review I said he's, you know, strong, silent type who looks good in black. Because he always gets dressed up to do all this stuff. I don't understand that, but he does.
Was he cool?
He's very nice. He's really fun to talk to.
Yeah, that's good.
I'll tell you one quick thing that I've told you this before. I always try to ask people a sort of off-kilter question at the beginning to see, you know, to kind of feel them out and see what they're going to be like. And when my children were little, I used to say, before the end of this interview, you may hear the screams of a 4-year-old girl, but, you know, don't worry about it. And you always see, you know, how they would react to that. And Keanu Reeves gave the best response ever. He said, "Outstanding."
That's good. That's good. All right, I'll let you go off that. Appreciate it as always. Thanks.
All right.
There's Bill Goodykoontz, Goody at the Movies. Lego Batman on the radar this weekend. Because, is there anything going on this weekend? I don't think there is that you look at and say, well, I've got to check this out. Eric, is there anything going on this weekend in sports? I haven't seen anything.
I'm probably going to check out Gonzaga St. Mary's on Saturday evening. That's a pretty big...
Pebble Beach is this weekend in golf.
I won't watch that.
Come on.
Two great,
get out of here.
Two great college games tonight. Duke, North Carolina, and Oregon, UCLA.
Oregon, UCLA is tonight. That's right. That's the one I was going to watch.
Yeah. All right.
But not much. I mean, it's not.
No, we're football free, which is unfortunate.
I mean, Saturday night, the Coyote-Penguin game is of interest to me.
Yeah.
I know the Bulls are here. I just don't care about Dwayne Wade. He can barely move. But and the Bulls just aren't good.
And it's going to rain this weekend, so go see a movie.
All right. All right. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on our website right now that you can check out. Sports360AZ.com. Sports360AZ.com. Pro college, high school, college, pro. Makes no difference to me. It's things that we see a little bit off center. We talk about movies on the show because guys like movies, right? Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. Eric Sorensen, our senior executive vice president of everything or nothing. And we appreciate you being with us. Thanks.